This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord Jesus, this morning, that's the truth that we hold on to, Lord. The truth that inspires our hope that Christ is risen. That Jesus, you rose from the grave, and that for all of eternity, Lord, all of creation will worship you. That there will be no other name sung for all of eternity. Jesus, this morning we're so thankful for your presence. Your presence which shapes and forms us. Your presence which upholds and strengthens us. Your presence which heals and redeems. So this morning God wants to remind us, even as Psalm 23 says, that he leads us beside still waters and green pastures. This morning, some of us are running, and since some of us have just been swallowed by the busyness of life, and Jesus wants to bring you beside still waters. Jesus, we pray that even as the good shepherd, you would lead us to our rest. That we might find our rest in you. That you would stir hope and faith inside of our hearts. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate the fact that you, the Son of the living God, rose from the grave. We celebrate that you choose to dwell with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to take your seats. As you do that, I'm going to ask the ushers to pass the offering bags around there. Those of you who are visiting, as Michal said earlier, please don't feel compelled to give. You're our guests, and that's great that you're just here with us. You can pass the bag along. And the rest, obviously, is a fantastic time just for us to be able to give as part of our worship. It's not separate from our worship. I always enjoy the month of May. Hope and trust you do too. In Pretoria, in the church, it's quite a precious time for us. For me, it's something that I'm privileged that we can be part of it. A couple of years ago, a number of our church leaders, we started coming together in the city, praying together, seeking God's face together, and something stirred in our hearts just to, from time to time, to do something together across denominational lines, across geographic areas. And I love the fact that this third year we're doing this, that all across Tshwane, so many of our churches in this city, from Attridgeville and Shoshanguve and Mamelodi, here in Brooklyn, in the east, in the inner city, in the west, across Centurion, so many churches, we've all embraced the same theme for this month. I want to encourage you, you can go and on Facebook, for those who are on Facebook, and find, just go search One Series, and every morning for the next 21 days, we'll be posting a prayer point. We want to invite you to do is to pray with us for the next 21 days for our city. It's a little prayer journal, prayer devotional that a bunch of us put together. It'll also be on YouVersion, the Bible app that many of us have, and we're just waiting for them to load it. They were meant to do it last week, but hopefully just time sync between America and South Africa is always a challenge. Hopefully that should be ready by tomorrow at the latest, and we'll send you guys that link as well, and you can go on to the Bible app on your phone, and every morning you can follow the reading plan and read with us and pray with us for our city. And all across the city for the next month is something that's been stirring so in our hearts, and I know it's God, because some of you would remember that right at the beginning of the year, the very first time, Sunday of the year, I spoke to us and I shared for us from Matthew chapter 9. Where Jesus travels through all the towns and the villages of that area. He teaches in the synagogues and he announces the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. So Jesus is really doing incredible ministry. And then he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And we said the one thing that God very clearly is stirring in our hearts, speaking to us about this year, is love. By this, all will know that we are his disciples, by the love that we have for each other. For this year, and sort of starting towards the end of last year, we spoke about, we are simply began to ask ourselves this question. When people speak about us, when people speak about me, about you, as individuals, about Shofar Pretoria collectively, about Shofar globally, when people start speaking about it, what is it that they say? Because what we would love people to say is that those people are a bit crazy, they're weird, whatever, but they really love. And we've been trusting God to stir that in our heart. And we spoke about that at family camp. And we're working through some of those questions in our small groups. What does it mean for us? What does it look like for us that we would be known by our love? Jesus was moved with compassion for all the people that he saw. But then his response to me is such a powerful and at the same time such an interesting one. In verse 37, immediately he sees all of these people and his heart so goes out for him and he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field. We started speaking about this, the merging of these two concepts. That's so one of the things that I really know God wants us this year to do more than normal is to grow in love. But at the same time, not only to be praying, but be willing to answer our own prayer that God would send workers into the field. This is one of two prayers that Jesus gives us to pray. The other one is the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And he gives us this prayer. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest. Or in this translation, the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. And ask him to send more workers into his field. It's so important when we pray that prayer, that we understand that we need at times to be the answer to that prayer. That the workers we are praying for includes ourselves. And so when we started speaking a couple of months ago, just after this, we started speaking about our theme for this year in May all across the city. And I love that everyone said, why don't we this year use the month of May in all of our churches to raise up laborers for the harvest? To equip people to do ministry, specifically evangelistic type of ministry. So this morning our service is going to look a little bit different than it normally would. And for those who are visiting, I trust that you'll enjoy it as well. We're going to speak one or two questions. We're going to actually, you guys are actually going to do some group work together, which is going to be fun. But before we do that, I'd like us to just watch a short video clip. Some of you may have seen this. And then afterwards, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion around the video clip. And some I'll share some thoughts on scripture around that as well. Thanks, Ross. Apologies for the technical issues. Not quite sure what's going on with the computer. Today's one of those days. You wouldn't have known it because they are so fantastically good. But the band that led us in worship this morning wasn't meant to. It was meant to be a very different looking band. And last night our worship leader got sick and had to assemble quickly this morning. So this morning is one of those days where a lot of things that can go wrong are going wrong. But hey, it doesn't change anything. Jesus is still risen from the grave. So we carry on. I think you got the heart of the message. You sort of missed Uncle Reynolds' closing thoughts at the end there. But I want us just for a moment, we're not going to quite yet have a discussion around this, but I want you perhaps to just think about this in your own mind. Maybe a good question to dwell on in the car or over lunchtime to share together with. If you were on that ship, well, before we do that, if you were honest about us as a church, and if you're visiting and you're from another church, then you can frame that within that context. If we can have the slides up, please, Asanda. In your experience, would you describe us as Shofar or whatever your church is where you find your home as a pleasure boat or as a lifeboat? And why do you say that? And I think that's a good question for all of us to ask. It's a question that I'm very open and honest for us to have a discussion that we have regularly is, where are we at? what are we doing and how successful are we at the various things that we seek to achieve. And I think it's a question we need to be honest about, that we're not always where we would love to be. And we need to grow in so many areas. But then the second question is, if you were on the Corpus Christi is the name of the rescue vessel that in the video clip we just watched, where do you think you would most likely find yourself? Would you perhaps be Seaman McMillan, the one who is caught between this point of decision of, do I go and do I risk my life and go on the outside, or do I stay within the comfortable party? Are you maybe the whoever he is in the middle of the party saying that no one should go, that the people, I hope no one like that is in this room, but perhaps that is a little bit something of what may be in our hearts. People who are sailing in weather like this, are they must be drug runners, and we're not going to put ourselves out to try and save them. Perhaps you're like those two sitting on the couch. I love the little conversation they have. And the one says, I've studied all of this. I went through the manual. I know how this thing works. And the one's response, have you ever even been on a life vessel? Got all the theory down, but never been out there. Would you perhaps be that one who's running around trying to gather as many people as you possibly can? Say, come guys, there's a crisis outside. We've got to go. I think that's a good question for us to ask and to think upon, just in our own hearts. Good discussion that you could perhaps have by yourselves a little bit later around the dinner table, or even in small group this week. Is if you were on that ship, where do you think you would be? What I do want us to do is to have a little bit of discussion. So if you can turn into groups of three or four, perhaps at most, no more than four, just for time's sake. And if you can include some people in your group that you wouldn't normally speak to. So if you just quickly find some groups, three or four, move the chairs around, we're going to have a little bit of interactive time. So try and make your group more than just people you'd normally talk to. Okay. And do try and keep this group smaller rather than larger, because we want to give everyone an opportunity to speak. And obviously the bigger the group is, the less opportunity there is, just from a time point of view. Okay, great. So what I want us to do is, in your groups, I want you, and you're going to have to manage time just a little bit here. I know some of you, if you pop this question out, you could speak until we get together next week, just in your turn. Unfortunately, we don't quite have the luxury of that time. But what I'd love you to do is just share what initially made you come to Christ. What is it initially that made you start following Christ? And then secondly, as an add-on to that, because very often it's a different moment, a different experience, what caused you to continue to follow Christ? Why were you initially drawn to Jesus? And what was that moment where you made a decision in your heart, I'm going to keep doing this? Can you take about 10 minutes or so in your groups and take a moment and just share around that, each one? Take about another 3 minutes or so on that. Take another minute. Okay, are we done? I always find discussions like this incredibly encouraging. Just hearing a little bit of other people's story. Perhaps more accurately phrased, hearing how God has revealed His story in other people's lives. I encourage you to share what you just did often, because that which you just shared with each other, and I realize it was a bit rushed and perhaps everybody didn't quite have time. I would love for us each one just to be able to take time and share with all of us. I'd love to listen to every one of us the story that God is working and it has worked in our lives. But that which you just shared in sort of Christian speak, we call it your testimony. The reason I phrased it this way and I had us approach it this way is I know for some of us, if I had said, share your testimony with each other, some of us would have felt intimidated, and immediately this thing pops in the back of our mind, I don't have a testimony. But every one of us have a story. This morning I want us to look a little bit about how do we tell that story. But before we do that, I'd love for us to read this passage in Revelation chapter 12. There was war in heaven. Some of us missed that. There is war in heaven, and even today there's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. The dragon lost the battle. Isn't that fantastic news? And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, The one who accuses them before our God day and night. And those who were accused, they have defeated him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for us and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. That's another important one for us to speak on. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. And then it carries on. But this is beautiful phrase in there, right in the middle, about something of the power of our testimony. There is an overcoming power in your testimony. That you're being willing to open your mouth is an incredibly powerful tool in our defeating the work of the devil here on this earth. I want us to look at testimony a little bit. Before we speak about what testimony is and perhaps some ideas about how to share testimony, because it is potentially the most powerful evangelism tool in your life. Evangelism, and those who've done Bible school or various types of courses, you probably have a number of tools. I always think of evangelism and being a good evangelist a little bit like being a good plumber. You see, if the plumber arrives at your house and he only has a hammer, then every problem becomes a hammer-solvable problem. He might solve some of them really well, but some of them he's not going to solve well at all. But the more tools he has in his toolbox or in his bucky when he arrives at your place, the more appropriately he can solve the challenge that you have. In the same way, I don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all when it comes to evangelism. I'm sure if we listened to our stories, and even in your group, every person got touched, got met in a different way. There was not one generic thing apart from perhaps the goodness and the love of God, but there was not one generic strategy that worked to cause you to come to Christ. Although what I would throw out is that probably for most of us, the vast majority of us, right in the beginning, a massive part of our story of why we came to begin to follow Jesus involved some of the people in our lives. There was this friend, this brother, this family member, this cousin, this classmate. Most of us, how many of us have someone, at least someone like that, in the beginning of our story? Put up your hands. The vast majority of us. It's important for me to say that because that places our role in context. That evangelism, as much as I love and appreciate the big crusade type of evangelism, someone on a stage speaking, that is not nearly as effective as you and me speaking. There's power in our testimony, in what we've experienced. A couple of things that, evangelism and growing at evangelism means growing your toolbox. But the most important tool in your toolbox is your testimony, your ability to share what you have experienced from Christ. So a couple of things that that testimony is not. Firstly, testimony is not, I am so great. What do I mean by that? I mean, sometimes we share our testimony and the hero in our testimony is me. Guys, you have no idea what I went through, but now my story is finished, and actually, at the end of the story, now that you've listened to my story, what I leave with you, it is a desire to be more like me. That's missing the point of testimony. You see, testimony should not leave with anyone a desire to be more like me. Testimony should leave with us all a desire to experience more of Jesus. I've heard some people share their testimony, and all I've heard, with all respect to them, is just one big ego trip. I am the greatest Christian that's ever lived. And that's not what we need to be sharing. Similarly, what is a testimony not? Testimony is not, I am or I was so bad. Sometimes we think the power of testimony, someone's got a powerful testimony when their name is Vanessa Huisen and they spent 16 years in a Thai jail. When they were raised from the dead, they were a drug addict. They died in the emergency room. They ascended to heaven, and then they got raised from the dead. You know, or Stephen Lungu, what an incredibly powerful testimony. And sometimes we listen to that, and we think the power of testimony is in how bad we were or are. And yet the power of testimony doesn't lie in that. We'll look at that now. As much as those stories speak to our hearts and they reveal something about Christ to us, you know, the reality is very few of us can relate to those testimonies. Because very few of us have spent time in prison. Very few of us understand what it means when your mom leaves you and your younger brother and sister at the filling station and just leaves and you never see them again and you're 6 years old and you have to look after your brother and your sister, as Stephen Lungu's story. Very few of us can relate to that. But the reality is your story, its power is in its authenticity, is that it is you. We'll look at that in a moment. But more than it being God's story, more than being my story, it's so important that we understand. I'm not trying to tell you my story. I'm trying to tell you the story of Jesus as he's revealed in my life. He should be the hero, the protagonist. Thirdly, your story is not insignificant. It is not. I remember when I was at varsity, there was a girl who studied with us. We were first years together and we were good friends. And she always felt she had no testimony to tell because she grew up, she was saved from birth, basically. She grew up in the perfect Christian home. Her mom and dad never fought. They were those people that just godly parents like you and I try and be. And then we'd sit and we'd talk and she says, I don't have a testimony. And what she meant was she'd never experienced the world. She'd grown up in this environment where following Jesus was all she ever knew. One day someone said to her, I can't remember who it was, if it was me or one of the, her name is Susan. Susan, that is your testimony. That is such a powerful testimony that there is a God who would have us follow him all the days of our life and not have to go through the brokenness of being in the world. That is a powerful testimony right there. That can touch and change someone's heart when they realize that God doesn't expect us to go through the dumps of life before he intervenes in our lives. That's a powerful testimony right there. What makes your testimony powerful is it is you. I have experienced this. You know what I love about testimony? We can talk about scripture and we can talk about revelation and things of God and experiences and all of that in a conversation and somebody can say, I don't agree, I don't believe you, whatever it is. But they cannot look at me and say, when I say this is my story, they cannot look at me and say, I don't believe you, without saying you are lying. That's the only option they have. Testimony takes argument totally out of it. This was my experience. Whether you agree with my experience or not is totally irrelevant, and we don't get engaged in that because people don't. This is my story. I went through this. I was born into this. I experienced this. I felt as if this was going on in my life. I stepped into that church, or that friend stepped into my life, and this changed. And no one can disagree with that because that is your experience. See, the power of your testimony, it's in its authenticity. And then lastly, about what testimony isn't. Testimony is not what somebody else should or shouldn't do. That's preaching. There's a time and a place for preaching, like I'm doing today. There's a time and a place for teaching, but that's not testimony. See, the moment we step away from I experienced into you must, we step out of the power of testimony and into the domain of preaching. The two massive differences. And if we don't invite someone to share with us, I have the liberty and the freedom to share with you because I believe one of the reasons you're sitting here today is you expected somebody was going to share with you and you want to hear a little bit of whatever it is that you're wanting to say. There's an invitation of sorts. Too often we step into people's lives and we want to tell them what to do without the permission to tell them what to do. And you and I are exactly like that. If anyone steps into your office tomorrow and tells you what to do with your pet project that you have been working on and they've just stepped in now, what are you going to do? You're going to say, thank you very much, but goodbye, and ignore whatever they said. And even if it was good advice, do exactly the opposite. So you've got that thing inside of us. We don't want people to tell us. It's different if you phone someone and say, listen, I'm on this project. I know you've done this before. You've got some experience. Could you come and show me what to do? That's a completely different conversation. It's so important that we understand this. Testimony is powerful, but its power is in the fact that I experienced it, not in the you must. We see this so often on missions teams. And when we give people opportunity to share, and we ask them to share their testimony, and they share a great testimony, and they end, okay, so now you must. And every time they do that, my heart just goes, oh, you've just broken the power of that moment. You haven't invited people into your world. Right now, what you have just done is you have taken inappropriately the license to tell them what they must do. There's a place to tell people what they should do, especially upon invitation, but there's something beautiful about leaving open an invitation to step into what I've experienced, and that is what testimony does. So a few thoughts about testimony that I want us to think about, just perhaps based on scripture, think through. The first one we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, guys, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this power will have a very specific purpose. This power will be so that you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's just the geographic space here where we are now, the place surrounding where we are. If it was in Pretoria today, he would say in Pretoria, in Gauteng, in the Free State, and in the rest of the world. It's simply just geographic concentric circles that he's painting out there. Starting here and everywhere you would go, telling people about what I have done. But the word that he uses there is exactly the right word, a witness. Hope and pray that this doesn't happen, so please don't misunderstand me. But if you were to imagine that as you leave church, you drive out and perhaps you're going towards the highway or whatever, and you drive, and right here at this first intersection by the university, in front of your eyes, there's an accident. No one gets hurt, maybe some property is damaged, and you've seen it all play out before you. And it's very expensive cars, whatever, and now you've got to go to a court of law as a witness. What are you required to give your opinion, your view on why this whole process happened? No, simply, what is your role? Simply to say what you have experienced. What have you seen? What have you heard? You and I, as witnesses of Jesus, simply have to share what we have seen, what we have heard. In other words, this is what I have experienced, exactly as you were sharing with each other a little bit earlier. This is what I went through in my life. This is why I decided to follow Jesus. This is what Jesus has stepped into my life and done. This is what I've experienced since I followed Jesus. That's the power of testimony right there. It's just a witness. I've seen something, I've experienced something, and now I am sharing what I've experienced. The first part is to witness. Something about witness I want to mention as well is you don't always have to tell your whole story. Sometimes we're able to tell our whole story. But you know, sometimes standing in the pick and pay, in the queue, you've got 2 minutes. And maybe you hear the person in front of you say something, or the person at the till mentions something. Man, I'm having such a bad day, or whatever it is. I can't believe this has just happened. And maybe you can just in one or two sentences say, whoa, that's crazy. I had something similar happen to me recently, or I went through something like that. And this is how God stepped in to that moment. Really short couple of seconds can change someone's life. What are we doing? We're drawing them closer to Christ. I experienced something in a situation similar to where you were. You see, our story doesn't always have to be the whole story. Sometimes just by being sensitive to the Spirit, we can lead just a little part of the story that can seem small to you and me, but so powerful and so real to someone going through that situation. Sometimes just the smallest drop of testimony can soften the hardest heart. Secondly, still in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, first thing there is, we must tell people. Maybe let me just, before I go on, there's a saying in Christianity that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. I have two rather big challenges with that. I love the thought, but I have two rather big challenges with that. The first one is St. Francis of Assisi never said that. There's no record of him saying that. So just if someone has the record of him, but I've searched all over, there's no record that he ever said anything along those lines. And secondly, Jesus said exactly the opposite. Jesus said, go and tell people. Not tell people what to do, but tell people what I have done. Big difference between the two. Preach the gospel, it will be necessary to use words. I'm not saying we mustn't live the gospel. I'm not saying we mustn't. That I love the sentiment behind that saying. We have to live it. The actions have to speak to it. Our lifestyle has to be a sermon. I get that with all of that. But sometimes we use that as an excuse to not use our words. And yet Jesus said, go be witnesses and tell people about me. I'm just going to throw one in here very quickly. Just between you and God and the Holy Spirit, you're the only two people on the planet who know the answer. You don't have to tell anyone else. When was the last time you told someone about what Jesus has done in your life? And you can't count our 10-minute discussion a little bit earlier. When was the last time you told someone what Jesus has done in your life? The first one is tell people, be a witness. The second one, still Acts chapter 1 verse 8, count on the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, boldness, the ability to do this. If you think you can't do this, well, I've got fantastic news for you. This is the number one reason why you have the Holy Spirit in your life, is to do this. To empower you to tell people, to give you the grace, to give you the boldness, to step out, not to preach, not necessarily to stand on a platform and shout at people, but in that moment, in the classroom, in the dorm, at the office, just to have that moment to say, you know, I was going through a dark time. I had questions. I wasn't sure which way to go. I didn't know what to make decision. I didn't know what I needed to do with my life. And I just prayed and says, if God stepped in and gave me that, whatever it may be, the boldness to speak. See, our testimony must be infused by the Holy Spirit. Your testimony by itself is missing the whole point. It doesn't have power. You see, the power in the testimony, yes, it's in its authenticity, but the power in the testimony is when the Holy Spirit breathes on it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't breathe on lies. That's why your testimony is powerful, because it's you. He breathes over it. He causes it to work. It's the Holy Spirit that works the miracle of salvation in the sinner's heart. Something that's so important for us to remember. You and I cannot save anyone. Your story, my story, cannot save anyone. But God can use the story that we tell to draw people closer to Him. At the end of the day, it's all about Him and His heart. Spirit drawing people towards His heart. I often like to think of the Holy Spirit as the ultimate evangelist. He is evangelizing 24/7. He is more committed to anyone on this planet and their salvation than you and I or I could ever be. And that brings us to our third point. As much as we have to trust the Holy Spirit, we need to invite the Holy Spirit into this process. We need to be praying. I hope that, and pray, that you all have a card, and I think we have some more. If we don't, we'll have some next week again. A little card, and you can make your own. You don't have to use the one that we give you. A little place where you just write down the names of two or three people that you're praying for. Every day, you're praying for them. And you're putting that card somewhere where you can see it regularly, where it draws your attention, where you can remember, I'm praying for these people because I'm in this comfortable boat and outside there are a whole bunch of people who are drowning. I think we need to say that to ourselves sometimes. I heard this picture that someone painted through a sermon illustration once. They had a little fishbowl with a fish inside of it. Maybe I should do this one day. And they took the fish, caught it in their hands, and put it on the table next to the fishbowl. And walked away. The table was sort of over there, and they started here preaching. What do you think you would be doing if I was over here preaching and there's a fish over there dying? Would you be like, oh, poor fish? Or some of your eyes are going to be stretching a little bit, saying, Philip, you're killing the fish. You could save that fish. You don't need to be killing that fish. And something inside of us would be, this is wrong. This doesn't need to be happening. Never watched Survivor in my life. I started watching Survivor this week because one of our pastors from Secunda is on Survivor. And this guy killed a snake with a machete. And all the women were like, why are you killing the snake? I thought the women would be the ones excited about the fact that the snake is no longer there. But they were, and there'd be that moment like, this guy's up, we haven't even started and this guy's upsetting me already because he just killed a snake. And we'd be upset about this fish lying on the table here dying. Like, we just pick up and put back in the bowl. I wonder how often we walk around with that same urgency in our heart to those around us who are dying in eternity. They may not be a fish out of water, but they are just as much confronting death outside of Christ as a fish is out of water. We need to be praying. I want to invite you, let's be people praying for souls to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I urge you, first of all, I love Paul writing to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want you to do a whole bunch of things as you lead this church. But the first thing you need to do is pray. Who are you praying for? For all people. You're praying for, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. And in this month, as we're going to be praying together in the one series, we're going to be praying a little bit around that. This is good. It pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. See, God wants you and me to be praying for everyone. And what are we praying? It's right there in the middle in verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. This is what we are praying for all people. We should develop that lifestyle of prayer for all. Evangelism, I really believe, as much as there are good methods, it's not about methodology as much as it's about a heart and a lifestyle to lead people to Jesus. You see, if you have a heart to connect people to Christ, the methodology will flow. You will love people and they'll be drawn into that. The second last one, be yourself. 1 Peter chapter 4, God has given each of you a gift. God has given each of you a gift. Perhaps turn to the person next to you and say, God has given you a gift. You have a gift. Every single one of us in this room, you have a gift. From his great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Be yourself. Don't think that you need to copy anyone else. You don't have to be anyone else. You know, if you're reaching out to someone, you don't have to tell Stephen Lungu's story. You don't have to tell Vanessa Huison's story. As precious as their story is, that's a secondhand story. Your story is a gift that God has given you. And more than just your story as a gift, you know, some of us are comfortable hosting a big party. We can invite 50 people. JP Duminy, the cricket player, I love he did this, came to salvation. Crazy story how that happened. Anyway, he comes back, decides he wants to get baptized. Invites the whole town in the area where he grew up in. Massive party at his house for his baptism, to tell them all what Jesus has done in his life. Some of us, that's our gifting. Some of us, our gift is we can connect with person one-on-one. That's okay. Some of us like running, and we run, and we can draw people with us, and we can go running with people. One of the things that I think is so key to effective ministry, it's not to find more stuff to do. It's simply to find Jesus. How do I bring you into what I am already doing? If you're already jogging, that's your place of ministry right there. If you're already going to work, that's your place of ministry right there. If you're taking the bus or the taxi, that's your place of ministry right there. And the way you're going to do it, the way it's going to look as lived out through your life, is not going to look the same as the person next to you, and that is okay. Some of us might reach out and we might step out and reach 100 people in a year, and that'll be phenomenal. Some of us will step out and we'll reach one, and that is also phenomenal. See, God hasn't asked us each to do the same, and He hasn't gifted us all the same. He has gifted us differently, and that's okay. Be true to yourself. Don't feel that you have to adopt the persona of somebody else to minister like somebody else. You don't have to. God has given you a gift. All you need to do is find out, how do I use this gift to point people towards Jesus? And then the last one is what Paul writes to a young, very passionate Timothy. Sort of towards the end of his letters towards him, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's written a whole bunch. Timothy, first of all, pray. Do a whole bunch of things. First of all, pray. And then right at the end, he says to him, keep a clear mind in every situation. That's a whole sermon right there for another day. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. There's another sermon right there. Work at telling others the good news. Work at it. I'm not saying it's an empty, dead work. I'm not saying kind of just work yourself into the ground to do this. What I am saying is be deliberate about it. It's not going to happen by accident. You can sit on the bus, you can sit on the plane, you can sit in the work, you can sit at the lounge area at your office, you can be at the coffee shop, you can be there all day and not speak to anybody. Or you can walk in there and say, God, I want to think of a way. I want to work towards connecting with someone today. I have to be on this plane. It's 2 hours flying to Cape Town or whatever, maybe longer if I'm flying overseas. And there's somebody sitting next to me and they have to sit there. They can't leave. What a fantastic opportunity, listen carefully, not to preach at them, but to find out where they are in their world. And then to trust God to somehow bring Jesus into that part of their world with them. You see, no one's going to want to sit next to you if you turn at them and start preaching. But if you sit next to them and you start sharing with them in a sense of, where are you from? Tell me about your job. Tell me about your family. Tell me about what you're going through in life. What are you excited about? Finding out about them. And then thinking, okay, this is something that I can use to point them towards Jesus. Wow, yeah, I hear you're really struggling with that. That sounds like a really deep concern. Can I maybe share with you? Learned this principle. Maybe from Proverbs. You don't have to tell them it's from Proverbs. Wisdom says A, B, and C. That's perhaps something. Where do you get that? I read it in the Bible. You read the Bible? Yes, I read the Bible. It's a phenomenal book. It's a totally different conversation to, are you going to hell? Yes or no? This plane might not land. We've got one parachute. I'm taking it. Are you going to be okay? Finding ways to step into people's lives, but be deliberate about working at it. Work at it. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, Timothy, work at telling people the good news. What is the good news? The good news isn't that you must do a bunch of stuff. The good news is Christ has already done a bunch of stuff. And you and I need to step in alignment with that and embrace it. Yes, that means that there are some actions that need to flow from us, but the focus isn't on the actions we need to do as much as what Christ has already done. I want to encourage you. Be somebody who works at sharing your testimony. You have a testimony. You have a story. I want to say it again. More than it's your story, it's Christ's story revealed in your life. So I want to encourage you as we close together this morning. We're going to pray together. I'd like you, if you have time, to pray together in a small group, just for a short moment before you go. But I want to leave you with a challenge this week. Apart from praying for somebody for salvation every day, if you don't have that habit yet, start getting into that. That's a really healthy Christian habit to get into. In the same way, like going for a regular jog or exercising for your body, it's a good habit. It's a good habit to eat well at the right times. It's a good habit. It's a good habit to regularly pray for someone who doesn't know Jesus. Apart from that, trust God for at least one opportunity this week to tell somebody a part of Christ's story revealed in your life. Just one. You can do many more, but one would be a great start. Can we do that perhaps? All of us, we've got a great story. Sometimes we forget, just one more thing before we close. We live in a city of about 3 million people. You have an environment, a company of however many, I don't know. Your world is how big, I don't know. But one thing that I know is, in Pretoria, we're looking at probably about 5, maybe 10% of whatever world is following Jesus. The university across the road here, there are just over 50,000 students. And on any given Sunday, if we are very nice to ourselves, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of those 50,000 students are in church busy following Christ. That's about just over 5%. 5 to 10% is a good norm, which is a lot in the context of the world. And probably in your world, it's probably around there somewhere as well. There are a whole bunch of people we need to reach. I always say to the other church leaders when we meet, the important number, and it's not unimportant, isn't how many people are in the church. But the great thing in a city like Tshwane is the answer is the same for all of us for the important question. The important question is, who are we not reaching? And that answer is the same for all of us. We are all not reaching the same number of people. But something so simple. You know, us here sitting in this room, we're about 80 people. If each one of us could just say, God, I want to reach 2 people by the end of this year. Just 2. That makes us 240 people by the end of this year. Just from our 80 here, whether they come to this church or not, it's not the point. People reach for Christ. That 240, if they can each reach 2 people throughout the whole course of 2019, now you guys must help me with maths here, will be 480, 720. 720 by the end of next year, just from our 80, just reaching 2 people. And the next year, over 2,000. The next year, over 6,000. You know, we can reach this whole city. If we can have 10,000 Christians in this city committed to reaching 2 people this year, you know, we can lead this whole city, all 3 million people in this city, to Christ within the next 5 years. Simple as that. If we will just embrace, I don't have to be the evangelist preaching to hundreds of thousands, but if I can just step by step begin to reach my world and share my story, allow people to connect somehow with Christ to the story he has given me, we can make a significant difference. What I'd like us to do as we close is pray together. Maybe one of you can pray for the group. Perhaps you each want to pray. You can decide how you want to do that in your groups. 3 things I'd love you to pray about. Firstly, ask God to give you an appreciation for the power of his story in your life. I think one of the reasons we don't tell our story enough is because we don't appreciate the power of it. Let's ask God that he would, in our spirits, stir something about the power of his story. Secondly, if necessary, repent. Say, sorry, God, I was wrong for the times when we were ashamed of his story. When we kept quiet, when we know we should have spoken. And then lastly, invite the Holy Spirit to continually turn your heart to God's desire to give you both the boldness and the wisdom to know when and what to share. God's desire is simple. 1 Timothy 2, we read it just in a different translation. This is good and pleases God. A different translation says, this is God's desire. The one desire that God has for this earth is that everyone should know him. And let's pray that God would stir our hearts towards his desire. Can we do that? I'd love for you guys to do that. I want to pray for us. Then in our groups, we can pray together. When you're done praying, you're more than welcome to go. Thanks for joining us. There is coffee and tea outside. You're welcome to have some coffee and tea and hang around, especially those visiting. We'd love to spend a few moments chatting. So Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your word as revealed in our lives. Thank you that we have a story to tell because Jesus, in some way, even if just for a moment, you've reached down from heaven into our lives. And I pray for us as a church, God. I pray that we would grow in becoming fantastic storytellers, Lord. Not making up stories, not new stories, Lord, but simply, faithfully, and accurately, with love and compassion in our hearts, sharing the story that you are working in our lives, God. Would you make us good at telling that story for your name's sake? Amen. Amen. So you guys can take a moment and pray together in your groups.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.